Podcast. We are Brad and Rach.
The kids are in bed.
Wow, good job, honey.
Thanks.
Okay, well, should we jump right into the topic tonight?
Can we all point out that that was like the biggest radio giggle, chuckle? There's another one.
Hey, before I forget, what's your song of the week this week?
Oh,
I think okay. We forgot last week.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I was ready for this. Let us know. However, you
I thought you were going to say let it snow.
Well, now
that
it
was
is.
That was not a radio giggle.
No, that was a real one. Let us know if you enjoyed the song of the week or if we should have a different question.
Yeah.
Is anybody actually going and like checking out these songs?
How are they
going
to let us know?
I don't know.
Email is below in the description. Email us.
If you like the music, what do you call it?
The question of the question, week.
Yeah.
The song of the week.
So my song this week is Regina Spektor, On the Radio.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear it recently?
Mm-mm. I didn't. But when we were in St. Louis, we were talking about Summer in the City.
Yes.
And there's a song of Regina Spektor's that has the line, Summer in the City.
Hot town, Summer in the City.
Right. Not that song.
Right.
One by Regina.
Right.
And it just got me thinking about Regina Spektor again.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. I need to go back and listen to it. It was one of my favorites in college.
Yeah. I was listening to a lot of the Lumineers today.
Mm.
For some reason, I keep stumbling onto Mac Miller's NPR, and then that led me into a live showing of the Lumineers. So I think I'll go with Ophelia from the Lumineers.
Oh, good one.
It's a great song.
Yeah. I really like the name Ophelia.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid I would be singing that song in my head for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right. If we named a kid that.
Yeah, exactly. We would. So this week's topic is kind of a heavy one, would you say?
Definitely a heavy one.
A heavy one and a highly controversial one.
For sure.
And one that, for one, you would never think that you'd have to be in this situation.
Right. A decision you feel like you would never have to make or have never even thought about making.
And then a decision that, like, it's totally up to you and others should not judge you for what you decide.
There are so many different circumstances that would lead to your decision, and nobody could possibly understand unless they had walked in your shoes.
So you may have figured out what we're going to talk about.
Really? I feel like that was really like masked. And
well, the thing is, like, what are we going to title the podcast?
Oh, yeah. You probably know from the title of the podcast.
Making a decision about your leftover embryos.
Exactly.
Which every couple that goes through IVF probably wishes that they'll be in this situation.
Well, yeah. I mean, ideally, you have the exact number of embryos that matches up with the number of children you see your family having.
But how often would that ever happen?
I feel like hardly ever.
Exactly.
It takes me back to when we had our marriage counseling, our premarital counseling with our amazing pastor, Jen Klein. And one of the questions that she asked us was, how many children do you see yourselves having? And I thought that was a great question because it's something that maybe you wouldn't think to bring up in a relationship. What if one of you wants zero and the other one wants four?
Yeah, and I hope you would know that before you get married.
Right. It's a good question to make sure you're on someone on the same page. And our answer was two, maybe three.
And here we are.
Right.
Three on the way.
Three on the way.
Or number three is on the way.
Yes.
Rachel's not having triplets.
I'm not. Baron Lendl's pediatrician misunderstood me at one of their checkups when I was pregnant. Mom told him that I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, there's actually three babies in this room. He took it to mean I was pregnant with triplets.
Oh,
I
wow.
met Bear Lindell and the new baby.
Yeah.
And he launched into the story about his sister-in-law that had triplets.
Everybody's got a triplet story.
Yeah, right. So anyway, moving along.
Okay, well, so there's really six options. Option number one being pretty darn obvious. Go ahead and transfer the embryos.
Right.
Which, I mean, for us, it was going to be a no-brainer before we got pregnant with number three.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not sure yet. We're just kind of putting the brakes on everything. So we're not going to have an answer for you guys about what we're going to do. Because honestly, We don't know.
Exactly. I have always been gung-ho. There is no option other than transferring every last embryo. And I am not as dead set on that now. And it's for various reasons that I don't think we even necessarily need to get into with this podcast. But yeah, so our question is unanswered at this point.
Right.
But yeah, that's the first option is transfer them all.
So if you decide that you don't want to transfer, we'll just kind of lay these out and then we'll dive deeper into them, okay? So you can just keep them stored for an unlimited amount of time. You know, actually over in the UK, you can only store them for 10 years.
And then what? They destroy them?
Yeah, there's a law.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Or you can do a compassionate transfer, which we'll explain what the heck that is. Or you could do a disposition or just destroy them. You could donate them to research.
Which is interesting. Essentially, it's allowing them to be destroyed, but at least they can learn something from them. Is that?
Yeah.
We're going to dive deep. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead.
And
please do go on.
And the last one would be embryo adoption.
That's like when someone says, hold the applause. Yeah, and then there's always a person that.
You were that person. You were that person.
Jessica Anderson. And everyone's like, he just said, hold the applause.
Obviously, they weren't listening. They're probably on Facebook.
Yeah. I was not this time. I was intrigued by that.
Okay. Well, the first one. So storage. How much do we pay a year for storage? $500, right?
I don't
but
even know.
We got the memo that it went up, so it's probably like $550.
Oh, well, good for them. Can you imagine the bottom line of that increase in storage costs? It's probably along with inflation and everything.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Electricity. Does that get more expensive?
I have no idea.
So our embryos are stored in Charleston, South Carolina.
We have two.
And, you know, something that really does need to be considered, though, hurricanes happen
right?
in South Carolina.
Natural disasters.
So it's probably not cheap for them to have, you know, the backup generators, storm shelters.
Right.
You know, this
yeah.
facility, you can't just keep them in the freezer in the garage.
No.
And it's something ridiculous. It's like negative 160 degrees or something like that.
Yeah, it's not an easy condition to maintain.
I made that up, by the way. I don't
know. Negative 160?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. Here in the United States, you can keep them stored forever, which, you know, might be a good option. For us, it's going to be an option because we're going to keep them stored for till we decide.
Oh, my gosh. So I thought there was another option that you could store them and say, like, someone could adopt them in 50 years where you know you won't be around when that embryo is potentially brought to life.
Yeah, wasn't that just happened, that an embryo that was frozen for 50 years was just born?
Right.
Yeah.
But you can specifically, like, if you do, is that under the adoption category? Let's wait until we get to the adoption category.
Well, I mean, we might as well go ahead and talk about it now.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Well, I just think that would be, there's a difference, I feel like, between putting your embryo in a situation where they can be adopted and knowing that you have a biological child out there somewhere. Like, would they want to meet you? Would you want to eventually meet them? It just opens up this whole dynamic of a really strange scenario where it's not like you got pregnant and didn't mean to and then put your baby up for adoption because of your life circumstances. It's an embryo. So if someone else adopts it, then how does that play out?
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit later when we talk about the adoption.
I felt like I gave you the option to do that.
compassionate transfer.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
This is when they transfer the embryo in a point in your cycle that it's not going to take.
It would be highly unlikely for you to become pregnant. Which
it's usually unmedicated, right? Like IVF,
yeah, exactly.
When you do your transfer, there's quite a few medications they put you on prior to the transfer to get your body ready. They make sure the conditions are ideal. this is transferring the embryo at a point in your cycle where you're infertile, so to speak.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember you telling me about this probably like 4 years ago when we first started IVF.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it was just preposterous and like a waste of time and money. But now that we like went through IVF and we have children, like I don't hate this option anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I understand it now.
Being in the position we're in where we have two live children that were both frozen is, it's hard to imagine any other scenario for our other two embryos besides giving them a chance at life. Because out of the four, I think they selected the two best for our very first transfer. So I don't think it was a random two that were transferred, but it very easily could have been Lyndall that stayed frozen.
Right, yeah.
It's just hard to even think about. And to do a compassionate transfer, I guess, is like in the same category as destroying an embryo, I think.
Yeah, pretty much, because I didn't come across any like statistics about how often, you know, the embryo actually leads, leads to a pregnancy. That would be an interesting piece of research.
Oh, for sure. Because that number could be too high for someone to want to take the risk.
I mean, if it's like 5%, that's not insignificant.
No. There's also within the category, if we back up a little bit, of transferring every embryo, you can do a medicated or an unmedicated cycle.
Right, for sure.
Transfer. So, and I think the numbers are not that different on those two, right? On the outcomes?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd have to look at that as well.
You would think they would be.
Right. You would think the medicated ones would be
much higher,
but I'm pretty sure it was like comparable.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So some doctors are choosing to do that instead. So anyway, that was.
Well, let's take a break, hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. So really, the next option is just destroying the embryos.
Yep.
I wonder how they do that. Do they just
wash them down the sink?
Yeah, exactly. Flush them down the toilet.
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. We should have done a little bit more research before we did this.
This is your baby here.
I just know the options. But would you even want to know?
No, and I'm sure that information isn't necessarily accessible.
Yeah, they probably don't publish that.
I'm sure our babies are in some type of dish or tube. I said our babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably take them out of the freezer and then clean the tube.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what happens.
The next option, donate to research. This is one that I find intriguing. What's your initial thought on donating to research?
It's in the same category as destroy for me.
But at least you're benefiting, hopefully, you're benefiting the greater good.
I guess. I feel like maybe they give you that option to make you feel better. And really, I don't know that every last one of those embryos that's quote unquote donated to research is actually researched.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I just feel like there's only so much research you can do on a frozen embryo. Like, what are you going to research?
Well, I guess the hot topic now is stem cell research. Okay. And like trying to
create other tissues.
Yeah, science is trying to like learn how they can have these stem cells and mark them to, you know, regrow a liver or a kidney or some type of tissue.
Okay.
But
like influence the cells to differentiate into certain other types of tissue.
Being able to assign them to have a role.
Interesting. Okay.
But the problem is, so like during the Bush administration, they put a bunch of federal laws on stem cell research. So there's not a lot of labs in the United States that are doing this. There's like some in California and like the University of Michigan, but so, like, when Obama took office, he kind of, like, rebuked some of those laws.
Mm-hmm.
But
To make it more lenient to study it?
Exactly. Like, make it legal. Okay. However, the lab cannot be a federal lab. Like, it can't be a government lab. It can't accept federal funding. And there's like a lot of restrictions and laws dictating like this type of research.
Hmm. I just feel like a lot of the times that you say donate to research, it doesn't actually happen.
Well, so that's another good point, because at Stanford, if you donate your embryos, they'll contact you and let you know like what the outcome was.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I feel like you did your research.
Well, I did, but I didn't come across how they destroyed the embryos.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
So they could, I mean, that's like, potentially they could like cure cancer or something.
Yeah.
Like, hey, your embryos like came up with a way to cure cancer.
Whoa.
Like contributed in some small way.
Yeah, that would be neat to know.
Exactly.
That's like, I was listening to, if you guys don't listen to Radiolab, you should. If you're kind of sciencey mind based, science-based mind.
Yeah. Build it.
Yep. Yeah. So one of them was on, it was a really sad episode, but like people who had family members that were organ donors.
Oh yeah. That's it.
And them learning where their tissues that were harvested went.
Have you seen like any YouTube videos of like a heart that was donated, and then like the wife or son will take the stethoscope and listen to the heartbeat?
Oh, not a dry eye in the house.
Yeah, that gives me goosebumps.
That's wild. One of them was a cornea or corneas, which is obviously very interesting to us. And it was multiple. I think this mother lost her child and multiple her child's parts. I'm trying to find an eloquent way to say this. Tissues. Yes. Different organs and tissues and things were donated to different people. And so I think she was able to meet them or something.
What's that Will Smith movie?
Oh, yeah.
7 pounds or is that what it's called?
7 pounds, I think.
Is that what it's called?
That's a weird name for it based on what the concept is. But yeah,
not a dry eye in the place.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a wild concept.
Yeah. Yeah, great movie.
Let me fact check the 7 pounds thing and make sure.
Okay.
Yep, 7 pounds.
Nailed it.
Yeah, you did.
I have a horrible memory for like real stuff, but like stuff like that. Like movies and actors and pop culture, I have a pretty good memory.
It's shockingly good.
Moving on from research. Oh, and I believe that is also state by state.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of limitations when it comes to donating your eggs or your embryos to research.
I wonder if that goes for eggs as well, because you can have an egg retrieval and freeze your eggs and later fertilize them.
Yeah,
I wonder
what they would do with egg research.
I feel like
maybe how to make IVF more effective.
Maybe, I don't know, because an egg that's not fertilized, I feel like, does not have the gravity of an actual embryo.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Embryo donation. So there's over 1 million embryos frozen in the United States.
Wow.
So there's a lot of couples that are facing this exact same dilemma that we are. And so hit on your embryo adoption dilemma. Like, you would
having a biological child out there?
Yeah.
I can't.
So it's like every child that you would see would be like,
Is that mine?
That could be my child.
Right. Well, I'm sure there's options for whether you do an open or closed adoption.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's a service out there that's like a match.com where you can pick.
You select the people who adopt your embryo.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just think that would be too. I couldn't do it. I would want it.
What about, I mean, like you said, if we stored them for 50 years.
And then let somebody adopt them.
Right.
I think that's, in a weird way, that's better. Because at least the option of me raising them myself wouldn't be on the table anymore.
Right.
But you would be giving them the opportunity to have life. But I still, just the idea that someone And this never would happen because if anybody is in a position where they are actually adopting an embryo, they have tried everything to have kids.
Right.
And desperately want children. So, like, of anybody in the world, those are the people that deserve a chance at being a parent.
Yeah,
the most.
But you're always left with this. Just because you want kids doesn't mean that you're going to be a great mother or father.
Exactly. So then I would just think in the back of my mind, I know for the rest of my life, I would think, what if our embryo ends up in a family that doesn't love them?
Yeah, is abused.
Yeah. I just can't stomach that idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so hard.
But obviously there are people out there that will need embryos and they would be absolutely perfect parents.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, that's a great option for some people.
For sure. Being the recipient of an embryo adoption, I feel like would be a lot easier than being on the donating end.
Exactly. Because you like, you're in control.
Yeah. You know, I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
So if none of our embryos were viable,
mm-hmm.
Would you have gone the route of embryo adoption?
You mean after like multiple failed cycles?
Say we were left, either we could adopt a baby that's already been born, or we could adopt.
I would probably choose to adopt embryos.
Because you want to feel.
I would want to carry them.
Yeah.
Now that having been pregnant. Absolutely adopt a baby. It's like having a surrogate.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
a surrogate. Except not free because you're paying a lot to adopt, I'm sure. So wouldn't one of the options be, I guess that falls under transfer all embryos. If you had a surrogate, it's not like you have to. So like say,
yeah,
I'm sure one. So let's lay out a scenario where, say, I had really severe complications with pregnancy, not just like me this pregnancy hating it, but like severe complications where they said you should not be pregnant again, mm-hmm. and we have two more embryos, mm-hmm. and we can't afford a surrogate, mm-hmm. we cannot make that happen. Mm-hmm. Then you're forced into the position where you have to do something else with your embryos. That's the whole topic that we're hitting on here is like, what do you do with these embryos if you're forced into making a decision that you're not comfortable with? Can you imagine? I mean, maybe that would make it easier.
Yeah, that might make it easier.
If you absolutely could not be pregnant again and it was medically advised not to, then
yeah,
at least that would take that off the table.
It's not that you just have a complete family and you're happy.
And you don't want to be pregnant again.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I know. If you actually wanted those kids and you can't afford a surrogate, that almost would be worse. If you had no way to get them here.
Yeah, what a tough situation.
Yeah. That's when you're starting IVF, and this was me. You have all of this hope and you think that this is going to be the answer to your family and you really are hoping for the most possible embryos.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get there and it's like that you're having to make decisions you never thought you would have to make. And it's in the opposite direction of what your initial goals were.
Exactly.
It's hard. It's stuff you just wouldn't think you would have to even consider.
And nothing can really prepare you for this.
I feel like there should be more. This, have we hit on everything yet? Are we just talking generally now?
Yes.
I feel like there should be more counseling on this prior.
Exactly.
They do not really.
That was like a couple of the articles that I read while going over this topic. Yeah, that a lot of the researchers said that's exactly what we need. We need more counseling. We need more education about the embryo. Like, what do you do with your leftover embryos?
Mm-hmm. I know there's even like support groups for people who are in kind of in our position where it's like we are facing the possibility that our family, we will feel like our family is complete after this next baby is born. And I know if let's just say hypothetically, like we said, we haven't decided anything, but hypothetically, let's decide, let's say we decide our family is complete and we are left with these two frozen embryos. If we decide to do nothing with them besides leave them frozen, I am going to need counseling for the rest of my life to help me manage that, I don't know, that weird emotion of like abandoning these embryos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's counseling that exists, and I think there's support groups and everything too,
right,
for that exact thing. So it's just...
Well, you're not going to be alone, honey. That's for sure.
Right. With 1 million.
1 million embryos frozen.
Right. And another thing, I think, besides like more counseling up front on what the possibilities are, like we signed paperwork the day of our transfer about, or the day of our egg retrieval, about what... If you died, what would happen? If I died, what would happen? If we both died, what would happen? We signed all of that paperwork, but that doesn't really answer the question of if you decide you're done having kids and you have more embryos. I mean, some people end up with 10, 12 embryos.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing I wish you would have the option to do, and I know that this probably wouldn't be cost effective or just, I don't think it would yield as good results, but if they would give you the option to do the egg retrieval and then one at a time create embryos. Fertilize one egg at a time. You have that kid. Or if you don't, if it doesn't, if it fails or whatever, they would unfreeze another egg, unfreeze your sample, make another embryo, and do them one at a time. So you're not having this giant surplus of embryos.
Yeah.
But cost effectiveness and...
Yeah, exactly. Logistics.
Logistically, I'm sure that would just be way more difficult, but it would eliminate this whole issue.
Not to change the topic, but to kind of... change the topic. Wouldn't it be
probably
crazy,
a good idea?
Wouldn't it be crazy if Lyndall or Bear couldn't get pregnant, couldn't do IVF, and they used one of our embryos?
What? That's got to be like incestual in some way.
I don't think so. How?
It would be. I can't figure out what that would. They would give birth to their sibling. That sounds incestual.
But it's not.
Your sperm.
Yeah. Well, it's an embryo. It's not my sperm.
Oh, that is true. Isn't that weird? I mean, that can't happen.
That's like a movie plot.
Yeah, that can't happen. That would be our grandbaby. Would be our biological child. Would be our grandbaby.
Right. Exactly. I wonder if it's ever happened.
I don't. I can't imagine. That is really, really a weird thing to think about.
I know.
That wouldn't happen. There's no way they would allow that to happen.
Really? I don't think that's incest.
Not technically, I guess.
Exactly.
Not based on the definition of incest, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah. So
interesting.
It's a crazy scenario.
It is a crazy scenario.
All right, honey. Well, is there anything, you know, we're going to come up with a podcast about things that we wish we knew before IVF. And so this will definitely be something else that we touch on. So if there's any questions or comments or anything that you had, go ahead and send us an email and we may add it into that podcast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
And thanks for all the positive feedback. We know we've had some audio issues. We're really still just like learning how to, you know, how to record these things. We're obviously doing it by ourselves.
And by we... He means him. I haven't really done anything except for I'm a guest on every episode.
Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate it.
Yep.
So hopefully the audio will be spot on for this one.
Yeah, it seems I've gone back and listened to like snippets of each one and it sounds like each one is different.
Yeah, well, we have a different setup every single time.
Right. Sometimes you hear one of us out of like one side of the car and one of us out of the other side of the car. Other times we're both coming through both speakers and then we're flipped on the next episode where I'm on the opposite side of the car this time. And then sometimes there's a lot of crickets.
So thanks for hanging in there with
Yeah, we appreciate it. If you would please leave us a review. I know on some podcast medias, there's not an easy way to leave a review. But if you're listening through iTunes, it's pretty straightforward. All you have to do is click the number of stars. That really helps us. I also want to mention that I've been monitoring my contractions with a really neat technology called Bloom Life. This is not sponsored, but it's really neat, and I've had 2 contractions during this podcast. We'll see you next time.